Today on Real Radio.
Are you yoked to Jesus? You're yoked to something, let me tell you. You're yoked to cocaine, you're yoked to arrogance, you're yoked to sex, you're yoked to pride, something. Jesus says, get yoked to me. Put me around your neck.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We're looking at the so-called love chapter, chapter 13, one of my favorites in the whole Bible. Now, much like the 23rd Psalm and a lot of other popular passages, 1 Corinthians 13 is often cited and quoted and printed on greeting cards. But as we're learning in Pastor Jack's impassioned presentation, it's often misunderstood, or at least underinterpreted, because Paul is talking about divine love. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called Finding the Love of Your Life.
This generation we're living in is, let's protest so people will give us stuff. Everybody else has to work so we don't have to work. Give us. And the Bible says, if you don't work, you don't eat. Jesus never leaned upon people. Now, look, let's be honest. Does God use his people to minister to his people? Absolutely. In fact, can I say this? I've said it before. It makes people uncomfortable, some, and it makes people happy, some. In every church where God's at work, there will be those who are nominally blessed, I would say, middle classed. There'll be those who are super blessed above, and there will always be in a church several or more in great need. You want to know why? They are ordained by God like salt and pepper and garlic and parsley in a meal, sprinkled throughout to test our hearts to see if we love. Oh, what's the matter? Your car blew up. You have no money. You can't get a job. You've tried everything. You got three kids. Your husband left you. Oh, man, that's a bummer. I will pray for you. Be warm now and be filled. God bless you. That's a sin because we failed to show the love of Christ. I wrote this to me. Jesus has never taken anything from me. He has only given to me in my life. Even when he removed things or people from my life, I have lived long enough to find out that in every case, it was for my good. Can you say that? I know you can. I know you can if you think. Well, no, what about this? What about? Wait. Some things are very fresh and the dust hasn't settled yet. Trust him. But the things that have happened in life, listen, I'm even talking about loved ones who died. I see now that it not only worked out for the best, it was God's perfect plan. If you'd have asked me in the moment of it, I would have said, how come? Why? You know, time is truly on our side as long as we're on Christ's side. Then it all works out beautifully. Next is this. Verse 4 teaches me that his love does not parade itself. His love does not parade itself. By his humility, he came to be with me. This is amazing to me. He came to be with me. God's love, the meaning, listen, parade itself. God's love, the word means, is not interested in hearing applause. Now, you need to really hear this because I think this is actually beautiful and comical at the same time. God's love is not interested in hearing applause from others. His love never seeks to stand out or to be noticed. So look, God's love does not show off. Jesus never showed off. Church, I want to ask you, could Jesus have shown off with his powers? That's amazing. See, I think it's kind of comical. Think about it. Jesus could have been walking along and done just, by the way, the reason why he didn't, it's called kenosis in the nature of God. When Christ came and took upon the form of a human being, he exercised kenosis. Kenosis is in Greek to have all power. Amen. And to lay it aside right there. Right there, watch this. Watch, are you watching? It's to have perfect, refreshing water right here. To be so thirsty. To have the control. Watch, I have the ability. Not only do I have the ability to pick up the water and drink it, I made the bottle and the water in it. And I know chemically, biologically, what it does for my body and how bad I need it. But I not only do not drink it, I refuse to drink it, to be totally dependent upon my Father, not in stupidity, not in ignorance, in absolute obedience, I do not pick it up. This could be a sword, it could be a pizza, it could be a brick, it could be a house, it could be an airplane, it could be the moon, doesn't matter. Kenosis is, he had all of the power to do it, and he did not. He chose. That's, listen, there's stuff that you and I cannot do. We wish you could, but we can't, and it's no temptation to us, is it? Because we can't do it. He can do it all. So check this out. Jesus could have showed off. He's humble, and he came to me. How did he come to you? He came to me in humility. He could have grabbed me by the throat. Some of you might want that. You might be here today, you're saying, I don't believe in your God. And you're spouting off your silly little mouth. And we just, because we love you with the love of God, we'll let you just spout your little mouth off, knowing, poor guy, he doesn't know what he's talking about. God loves him. He doesn't get it yet. Lord, please open this man's eyes. And the internet's full of people saying, God is a lunatic and God is terrible and all this stuff. And you listen to that and you just go, man, if they only knew him. Could Jesus show off and grab the guy right by the throat at that moment? Shake him. He could. Could Jesus open the ceiling of his house and go, hi, it's me, you're cursing. He could do that. He could do anything he wants. He comes to me. He came to you softly, quietly, gently. Even if it was a violent accident, it's still when things settled down, the thought processes began, didn't it? By his humility, he came to me. He could have yelled. He didn't. You know, when I first heard, I would say this carefully. I did not hear God's voice in a rumbling vibrato. I heard God's voice in an, does this make sense? A silent power in my heart. That's not normal for me to think when he said to me, Jack, you need me. Oh my goodness. I sat there in that room, in that sanctuary of that church in Costa Mesa, and all of a sudden the thousands of people that were there, they all evaporated. They were gone. It was just me and God. Yeah, Greg Laurie was speaking, but I didn't even see him anymore. My hands began to sweat. I was convicted of sin. He didn't say, Jack, you're going to hell. I knew it. How is it that he can say what he says and you know what he's not saying, but he's saying it? You need me, Jack. I knew that licking the soles of my feet were the flames of hell. No one had to convince me. I needed him. Like a fireman rushing into a house. No one sits there and debates. So who are you? Your house is on fire, man. Yeah, but what credentials do you have to carry me out of here? The axe ought to give you a clue. The suit I'm wearing ought to give you a clue. I'd rather be somewhere else. I'm here to rescue you. If you get in a debate with a fireman trying to pull you out of a house, are you thinking straight? If you're saying you don't need Jesus, are you thinking straight? Well, I'll work my own way to heaven. You're parading yourself now. You can't do that. Alan Redpath said, when a man begins to boast about himself, he is immediately displaying his own emptiness. In Matthew 9:35, Jesus went about, the Bible says, all the cities and the villages. Don't you love that? He went to people. He came to them teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among them. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. This is your God. This is the love of your life. Do you know him? Do you know that? This is how we're to act with people. We're to go about our cities and our villages, teaching in every opportunity we get, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and reaching out, going to the hospitals, going to homes, praying and seeing God heal the sick and the diseased. And we should be moved with compassion for them because we should see the lost as people who are like sheep without a shepherd. You know, they don't have a shepherd, you guys. I know. I'm busy. Let them go to hell. I'm going to heaven. It's okay with me. Then we don't have the love of God, church. We are zero on the love scale. Next is this. Verse 4 teaches us, by his humility, he did everything for me. You said, Jack, it's awful self-centered. Yeah, I know it is. Sounds like it though, huh? I am not these things, but he did them for me anyway. Love is not puffed up, conceited, arrogant. This agapeo, love of God, will not show conceit. God's love is not contemptible toward others. He refuses to take what the word means, the high seat. He chooses rather to remain near to us. God, listen, has decided in his infinite love for you, he humbles himself to be available to you. I have recently met a man. We're emailing back and forth now. I was speaking in the north of England just several weeks ago. You guys know that. And one of the guys there who had just accepted the Lord a few weeks before, getting there, was a special black ops operative soldier for the British and operates a clandestine business for global security. And he accepted Christ, and we were talking, we had dinner together, and we were talking. And I love this guy, and he's listening now, so I know he's going to hear this. And I don't mean, I'm not gay or anything, but he's a really handsome guy. He's a handsome guy, and he's well built, and he's kind of gnarly. I mean, when I say gnarly, I mean that in a good way. He looks like the Marlboro Man, you know, like a cowboy here out west. He's a man's man. He's kind of scruffy a little bit, but he's done some big stuff. And he said, "You know, my wife doesn't understand the love of God, and I've come in now to the knowledge of the love of God, and she thinks I'm going to turn out to be a freak." That's the term he used. She thinks I'm going to turn out to be a freak. Well, you got to remember something. If somebody comes to Christ and their life has dramatically changed, and if you're a real manly man and you previously went around blowing people up and taking down countries, and then you come home and you say, "I've got a Bible, praise the Lord." I mean, it is kind of, you know, I married this action figure. What is this? And he emailed me yesterday and he said, "My wife accepted the Lord." And isn't that awesome? How does that happen? How does that happen? Because Lisa had told him, "Listen, don't go about pushing the Bible down your wife's throat. Have you told her the gospel?" "Yes, she knows." Then Lisa told him, "Don't tell her the gospel anymore. Don't say another word about it. Just live it. Let her see the change." Amen. Listen, you can't do that if you're puffed up. "Woman, I'm the man here. Accept Christ. I'll be back." Doesn't happen that way. Matthew 11, 28, Jesus said, "Come to me." Listen to this. He's done everything for me. "Come to me," he said, "all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. for I am gentle and lowly in heart. This is God speaking. Are you a Buddhist, my friend? Hindu? Muslim? Anything else? Can your God say that? I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Ah, thank you, God. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Hello, church, very quickly. What was Jesus' occupation?
Carpenter.
One of the things required of the carpenter was to be the village yoke maker for the oxen and for the animals of labor. They would yoke a mature, strong ox or horse with a little young ox or young, what's a young horse called, guys? Help me, I don't know. A what? A colt, okay? Why? Because the experience of the other would teach the younger, and the big one, the mature one, would know how to dig out of the hole and create a cadence and plod along, and the little one's barely, just kind of, who's doing all the work? The big one. Who's doing all the learning? The little one. And the little one begins to look around and then look back and say, wow, this is great. Look at that long furrow we just plowed. And I'm sure the big one could have said, we nothing. We ain't done none of that. That's my work, buddy. Don't forget it. Did you know that when we are yoked up to Jesus, he does all the digging. He does all the pulling. And we get to the end of our lives and we're going, whoa, we made it. We nothing, dude. I yoked you up to me. I carried you along all the way. You know the old saying, you know that little poster thing, it's kind of cute with a sand. I saw two footsteps walking in the sand. And you know that thing? I mean, you can't even say it right. It kind of makes me sick. It's just too cute. But then there was one. What happened? And Jesus, the little poem says, I carried you. And it's beautiful. But you know what? Are you yoked to Jesus? You're yoked to something, let me tell you. You're yoked to cocaine, you're yoked to arrogance, you're yoked to sex, you're yoked to pride, something. Jesus says, get yoked to me. Put me around your neck and see how it goes. My burden, it's easy and it is light. He's done everything for us. And so I've wrote this to myself. Isn't it strange that the star of the Bible, the one for whom it is all written about, is the one who has come from heaven to meet me personally? He's the servant. He's the giver. How have I served him? How have I given to him? In light of his love, it's amazing. And here we're home stretch. We're going to end with this. This current economic trouble that's worse now. I don't know if we're used to hearing about it. It's worse though right now today. And it's getting worse. I don't want to upset you. Just be prepared. It's going to get worse. Mathematically, it has to get worse. Just scientifically, it has to get worse. I said, Jack, you're freaking me out. No, wait. In some ways, it's bad. In some ways, it's good. People who don't know the Lord, it's bad. You say, well, Jack, I know the Lord, and I'm losing my house. Give it some time. If you lose your house or not, are you a Christian? Are you hanging on to Jesus? It won't be bad. Well, what do you know? I don't know much, but I know him a little bit enough to know you will never, never be put to shame if you put your trust in him, ever. Now listen, have you noticed that stores, I'll make a confession here, but it's well overdue, I tell you that. Stores are almost giving things away right now in this economic environment. I went shopping the other day for something else. And I walked through a store, and I have two suits that I've had. One suit is 15 years old, and the other suit is 7 years old. And I need suits because I marry people, bury people, speak at things. You got to have a suit. I hate suits. Hate them. I have to get a new suit. I'm walking along and I see this suit and it's like, wow, that's nice. I wish I was that skinny. Because you know, it was on a mannequin and they got their guts are like shaved in now. And then it says extra slim. Well, lay it on me, buddy. Sure. Cut it up and glue it on. That's the only way it's going to work. But I looked at the sign and it said, buy one, get one free. So I'm thinking, yeah, right, buy one, get one free. What's, how much do you have to pay for the one you buy? $1,000? Oh, $300. Oh, $300, what's it made out of, paper? I put it on, I was like, oh my goodness. And I look thinner. You buy one, you get another one for free. And you look at that, you look at that environment, and honestly, if you think for a moment, someone's paying the price. I may have gotten it for free, and I'm paying part of it, but part of it is a big hurt factor. The stores are hurting. Things are desperate. People are desperate. If the world that is hurting and they do it for money makes an offer that you think is a good deal, and you're actually saving money by spending a little, and we think we walk out of the store, I beat the system. I'm doing good. I got two suits for the price of one. Imagine someone coming to die on the cross who pays the price to get me. You say, well, Jack, it's a little arrogant and self-serving, isn't it, to think like that? No, that's exactly how I think. And that's exactly how you have to think. If he's going to be your savior, he paid all of it. Jesus dies, and what cost him everything, I get for free. You tell me what's a good deal. That's better than the buy one suit, get another free deal. God dies. God pays the price. God does it all. God sacrifices. God comes down. God expresses his love towards me. God does everything for me. And then says, take it. And I, like a fool, would argue with him. Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He now showed the disciples the full extent of his love. It was time for supper, and the devil, having already enticed Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to carry out his plan to betray Jesus, Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe. That's very symbolic in that culture, ladies and gentlemen. You don't do this. God in flesh takes off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel he had around him. And you know what blows my mind? In the King James Version of that passage, it says that having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Can you think of something more beautiful than that? I can't.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study that looks at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's called Finding the Love of Your Life. In fact, Finding the Love of Your Life is actually a mini-series taken from this part of Paul's letter. And that means we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, don't forget that tonight you can log on to hischannel.com for our TV program called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. We really think you're going to like it. It airs every Monday night at 7 o'clock West Coast time on hischannel.com. Tonight, Parables, God's Word in Technicolor. Isn't that a great title? That's what Pastor Jack's calling it as he introduces us to the parables of Jesus and why Technicolor really is a fitting description. Why does Scripture say of Jesus, no man ever spoke like this man? Well, tune in tonight and find out. Real Life with Jack Hibbs airs on Monday nights at 7 o'clock West Coast time on hischannel.com. Just click on Live Stream TV for Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Our phone number, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.